I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm so very happy to see all of you back in the house of the Lord, particularly those who have traveled. We are very happy that you are back here to worship with us. And all those are our visitors who are here to worship with us, may you find joy and peace worshiping with the congregation here, and that at the conclusion of this worship service, we may all be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now this morning I want to start our study on the book of Ephesians. I realize that we did that a good number of years ago, but it is good for us to go through this book again. We will be reminded of many things that we learned in time past. Now the topic this morning is blessings exclusive to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings exclusive to those in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by any standard in the world, life in Australia is really good. And that's why so many people in the world, in so many countries, desire very much to be here. They want to be in Australia to enjoy this good life here. But friends, if they want to be here, to be in Australia, they must be in Australia in the sense of being permanent residents here or citizens of this country to really enjoy the life, the privileges, and the benefits that are available here in this country. Now the Lord has in store for us huge blessings, abundant blessings from on high. These are spiritual blessings from heavenly places. These blessings come from the one true living God. But to receive these blessings, my dear friends, we have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as people have to be in Australia in the sense of being permanent residents or citizens of the country to be able to receive the benefits and the privileges of the good life here in Australia. So I refer you first of all to verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the Father and be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." My dear friends, we have to be in Christ, as we said, inasmuch as people must be in Australia in the sense of being residents or citizens of this country to receive the goodness of the life here in Australia. So we must be in Christ to receive these spiritual blessings from heavenly places. Now, the Lord, as we said, has abundant spiritual blessings for all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, how may we be recipients of these blessings? The answer is, we must be in Christ, as we said. We must be in Christ, not outside of Christ. Now, let us understand the meaning of the two words, in Christ. Now, to be in Christ means to live in Christ, to be dwelling in Christ, abiding in Christ. That is what is meant by being in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ actually makes it very clear in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Abide in me means dwell in me, live in me. Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." We must be abiding in Christ, living in Christ. Yes, but Christ must be living in us first, abiding in us, then we will be living in Christ. And then when we are in that position, then we will be in the position of receiving these wonderful privileges that come down from heaven, from the one true living God. But how can we be in Christ? We can be in Christ by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, by believing on him, by believing that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, by believing that he shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary, by believing that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, by believing that he rose up for us. My dear friends, we must believe in him. We must trust him. we must have him dwelling in our hearts. It is when he is abiding in us, living in us, that we would be abiding in him, living in him, and be in the position that enables us to receive these great and mighty, abundant heavenly blessings that come down from the one true living God. Now, I'd like us to consider the blessing of this wonderful term, in Christ. Just consider these two words, in Christ. First, let us see this wonderful grace of God, the wonderful grace of God himself being in Christ. God is in Christ. Now, there was a time when the Son of God, who is God, the very God, none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh and became a man. Yes, he was born of the Virgin Mary and he became a man. And so, we would say that God was in Christ because Jesus is God, the very God. God was in Christ. Now, if God was not in Christ, my dear friends, if he were to appear to man in his glory, the man that God appears to will be struck dead immediately, even by his holiness, because God dwells in unapproachable light. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, he dwells in unapproachable light. If we come into his presence, we can't come near his presence at all. You remember the case of the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering. They came to this place called Mount Sinai, upon which God was going to descend and to give his commandments to the children of Israel through Moses. And God gave this instruction to them. God said this to the children of Israel in Exodus 19, verses 13 and 16. I read for you, you don't have to refer to these verses. There shall not an hand touch it, touch Mount Sinai. There shall not a man touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. You know, the camp, the children of Israel were camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. When God descended upon Mount Sinai with thunder and lightning, the people trembled. Yes, they were so fearful. They were very, very terrified when they heard the sound. Just hearing the sound of the thunder and seeing the lightning, they were terrified. And then you remember there was the occasion where Moses, who could actually talk figuratively, face to face with the one true living God, because he was the friend of God. Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. In other words, Moses had this desire of seeing the one true living God. And you know what was God's reply to him? God said this to him, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So, my dear friends, understand this truth. God dwells in unapproachable light. And today, if he were to appear to us in his glory, we will be struck dead immediately. Now, my God is very, very kind. God is very, very gracious to us. God actually wants to fellowship with us. And so what he did was he took on human flesh and became a man. Some 2,000 years ago, he became a man. But I want to let us remind all of us that Jesus did not stop being God. He continued to be God. Right, he became man, but he did not stop being God. So Jesus was 100% God, 100% man, or you might say he's 100% God, 100% man. Yes, so remember this truth. Now God took on human flesh and became man. And so by being in that position, then he could appear before man without man's being struck dead. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Let me read this for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. To wit, that is, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Don't miss these words. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, yes, making it possible for him to stand before men without his striking man day. Yes, because he was in Christ. Yes, Christ manifested the Lord Jesus, the one true living God. Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Now, so we thank God for his kindness, for his grace, all right, in his taking on human flesh to become man, to dwell among men. That is why he's also called, referred to as Emmanuel, God dwelling among men. Now, the wonderful thing about the term in Christ, we are looking at these two words, in Christ, is that not only was God himself in Christ, but we, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are in Christ also. And because we are in Christ, we can one day actually come into the presence of the one true living God and not perish. Yes. You know why? Because we would have on us the cloak of righteousness, even the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we will be standing before the one true living God, seen as righteous before him. Now, you know, we are not only not seen as people who have never sinned before, but more importantly, my dear friends, we are seen as being righteous in the sight of the one true living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." For he made him to be sin for us, which means he made Jesus to be the sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What it means is this: God caused our sins to be imputed onto the Lord Jesus Christ, credited to the Lord Jesus Christ, put into the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in turn, put his righteousness to our account, right? So there is an exchange. Yes, he puts his righteousness on us, and we put our sins onto him, into his account. And so because of that, my dear friends, we are then able to stand in the presence of the one true living God because we are in Christ, right? So God was in Christ, we are also in Christ. So you see how kind, how gracious this one true living God is towards us. Now understand this truth, this righteousness is not fake righteousness. It's not a substandard righteousness. It is not the standard of man, because the standard of the righteousness of man is no standard at all in the sight of the one true living God. In fact, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. But of course, in the world, there are those who claim to be righteous, although they don't have the audacity to tell you that they are righteous, but they somehow imply that they are righteous. They'll tell you, "Oh, I've never killed, I've never womanized, I've never told a big lie, I've never cheated in a big way, and I've always observed the golden rule. I will not do unto others as I would not others do unto me." But actually, that's a misquotation. Yes, because the golden rule is stated in the positive, which is, "I will do unto others as I would others do unto me," and not, "I will not do unto others as I would not others do unto me." So they think that they are righteous. But the truth is, my dear friends, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. But true righteousness is the righteousness that comes from God, and it is credited to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in him, friends, in Jesus, in Christ, in Jesus, we stand righteous in the sight of God, because we are clothed with the righteousness of the one true living God. And the wonderful thing is that today, clothed with this righteousness through our perfect high priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can come boldly unto God's holy presence to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is how wonderful this God of ours is, my dear friends. Yes, God manifested in, God manifested in the flesh, and through him and in him we can come unto God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, when you look at Christ, what do you see, my dear friends? What do you see when you look at Christ? When you read about Christ, what do you see? In him, or what do you see? Do you see him as God, my dear friends, or do you see as something else? Now, I read this some years ago. There was this lump of something that was lying in the bottom of a shallow brook in North Carolina. For years, people just walked past a lump of something at the bottom of the shallow brook. One day, a very poor man decided to get hold of this lump of something. He brought it home. He said, I can use it as a door stopper. So he brought it home and used it as a door stopper. One day, a geologist came by and he said, this is gold. It's actually gold. So people saw it as a lump of something. This poor man saw it as a lump of something also. But this geologist saw it as gold. It was indeed gold. So when you look at Christ, my dear friends, what do you see? Do you see him as a good teacher? Do you see him as a good exemplary religious leader? Or do you see him as a good man, a very, very exemplary moral man? Do you see him as one who is very sacrificial? Do you see him as a prophet? Or, my dear friends, you see him as being more than all this, that he is indeed God, the very God, the one true living God. Friends, that's the most important thing that we must see in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed God manifest in the flesh, shown as a human being. Yes. Now, my dear friends, it's very, very needful that we see that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, having recognized who he is, my question is, have you received him as your Lord and Savior? All right, let us all say that, all right, I recognize that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. God is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. All right, I recognize this to be true. But question is, what am I doing with Jesus? Yes, have you received him as Lord and Savior yet, my dear friends? That's the pertinent question. He must be in you, my dear friends. If he's not in you and you are not in him, yes, if he's not in you, he cannot be in him. So he must be in you so that you will be in him. If you are not in him, my dear friends, these wonderful blessings that he talks about, that he's pouring down upon those who are in him, will not be yours. Let's understand this truth. Now, I'd like us to look at the blessings that are exclusive to believers. Yes, believers who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I'd like us to go through this passage very, very quickly. I'll go through these blessings very, very quickly, but today I'll just focus on one or two of these blessings. But I'd like to go through the whole list, first of all, in chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. So you follow me as I go through, because I'll be going through quite quickly. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Christ Jesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You see how many times these words are used. In Christ Jesus. You see, in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What? In Christ. Did you read that? And verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, my dear friends, the number one, the topmost blessing, I dare say, is this, that the greatest blessing that we receive from the one true living God is that we, when we are in Christ, yes, when we are in Christ, we will realize that we have been predestinated to be saved, because it's stated here. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So in Christ, my dear friends, we would have been chosen to be children of the one true living God, saved, holy, and without blame. Then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, what? In the beloved. You see, in Christ again, in the beloved. So, my dear friends, he has predestinated us to be adopted as his children. And then also he has predestinated us to be accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ, in no other persons, friends, but in Christ we are accepted by the one true living God. Then you go on to verse 7. You see, again, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So, my dear friends, in Christ, we have redemption from sin and forgiveness of sin. My dear friends, do you not see this as a great blessing? The great blessing of being adopted, the great blessing of being accepted in the beloved, now the great blessing of being redeemed from our sins, the great blessing of being forgiven of our sins. My dear friends, because we are in Christ, we receive all these blessings. Then let's go on to the verse 7. Now next, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. We have divine revelation, my dear friends. God makes known to us the mystery of his will. My dear friends, if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never appreciate the mystery of his will. The mystery here simply means the truth of God, the truth of his will. You will never know. Maybe people will know in the head, but will never know in the heart. But you know that in your heart, my dear friends, because you are in Christ. All right. Then verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, what? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Again, in him. What does that tell us, my dear friends? What blessings do we have here? We have the privilege of having union in and with Christ, because one day God is going to gather all things in heaven and in earth to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in heaven, all are going to be gathered together, and we are going to be part of that gathering. We are going to be part of that gathering to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 11, in whom, you see, in Christ again. In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. All right. So what do we have here? What blessing? We have the blessing of an eternal inheritance. The inheritance is not short-lived, it's not corruptible, it is something that is indestructible, incorruptible, an eternal inheritance. And then verse 13, in whom, again you see, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of his salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We have been sealed with God's mighty Holy Spirit. If we are in Christ, this seal is applied to us. Yes, we are sealed with God's mighty Holy Spirit, thus indicating that we are genuine products. You understand how very, very important sometimes you buy a thing. You look for a certain seal, right? You want to make sure that this is a genuine product. Now, we are genuine children of the one true living God, sealed with what? God's mighty Holy Spirit. My dear friends, these are the blessings that we receive if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see how vitally important it is that we be in Christ. If you are not in Christ, all these blessings that we've just gone through are not yours. Not a single one of them is yours. Now, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All these spiritual blessings have one source. They come from the one true living God. They come from heaven. Yes. And each of the blessings that we are talking about here is good and perfect. And all these blessings are packaged in Jesus, in Christ, who is referred to as the unspeakable gift. You understand? All these blessings are packaged in Jesus Christ. So when you receive Christ, what it means is, it's all yours. because you are in Christ. And this is a package in Christ. When you receive Christ, yes, if you are in Christ, all these blessings that are in Christ are yours. They come down from the Heavenly Father. Now, we don't have time to talk about all the blessings here, but we will consider one or two of these blessings today, and then we will leave the rest to some other time, maybe in the next week or week after or so, we'll consider other blessings. Now, first, the first blessing that I'd like us to consider is the blessing of having been predestinated to be saved. Now, this is a big word. Yes, having been predestinated to be saved. So you look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us, predestinated us, chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Friends, he chose us. You know how privileged it is to be chosen to be a child of God. All right, let me give you an idea of how privileged it is to be chosen for something great, something grand. Now, I do not know whether you remember this or not, but some years ago, there was a controversy with regards to selection into the Olympic team representing Australia. I don't know whether you remember this or not. Now I'm talking about the competition for swimming. Now, every country could send two representatives, or at least Australia wanted to send two representatives to the Olympic Games for this race, the 400 meter race for the Olympic Games. And so the trials were held. Now the trials were held, but only two could be selected. Now, of course, there was a good number of people who contested and wanted to be selected. Now, among them were two very, very famous swimmers, one of whom was Ian Thorpe. All right, Ian Thorpe, one of the buildings here is named after him, the Ian Thorpe swimming pool or something like that. Ian Thorpe, and then there was another person by the name of Craig Stevens. Now, both of them were very, very good swimmers, but Ian Thorpe was outstandingly good. He had won many gold medals before. And so the trial was being run, and then Ian Thorpe came in second, and Craig Stevens was third, so Craig Stevens was eliminated, right? But the judges at the meet fouled Ian Thorpe because he had ran foul of the law in his swimming. So he was eliminated, and so Craig Stevens took over his place. You know, there was such a big hoo-ha, so much publicity given to the selection of Craig Williams because Ian Thorpe was clearly a better swimmer than this Craig Williams. So there was a big hoo-ha and lots of to and fro's concerning who should be chosen and so forth. Then finally, at the end of 1 month, Craig Williams decided to withdraw. And so Ian Thorpe was allowed to participate. Now, I talk about this not to focus on the controversy of the selection, but to tell you that it is so precious to be selected, to be chosen, that people will try very, very hard to be selected, because people selected will be chosen they'll be given great honor to represent the country, and not only that, along with this great glory that they get, they will also get lots of monetary rewards. So people want to be chosen, yes, they want to be selected. But friends, here we are talking only about games, sports. A game, yes, and already, you know, there's such prestige in the selection, the prestige of being chosen. But friends, we are talking here from the Word of God about being chosen to be a child of God, being predestinated to be saved. You know what a great privilege it is for us to be chosen, to be predestinated to be saved. Yes, it is something that is infinitely great. And we have been chosen, my dear friends, to be children of God, and not only that, we have been chosen to be heirs and joint heirs with the Prince, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, we have been chosen to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have been chosen Yes, to receive this wonderful inheritance. Now, this inheritance is so great, so marvelous, that it's beyond human words to describe. You can expect this great inheritance, and you think in your mind that this is the inheritance. My dear friends, your imagination will fall short of what the reality is. In the future, when you receive this inheritance, now let's think of something about this inheritance. For sure, if we are in Christ, we'll be inheriting everlasting life, number one, right? Number two, the other thing that we are very, very sure of receiving will be this fact that one day we will be given a glorified body, a body that is like that of the Lord Jesus Christ when we see him face to face. We shall be like him. And then another inheritance that I can think of is what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. So, my dear friends, he's gone to prepare this heavenly mansion for us. Yes, so one day we're going there. We're going to inherit that. So you think of the numerous inheritance that we are going to receive because we are in Christ. Yes, aren't you glad that you are going to receive that? Aren't you glad that you have been chosen, predestinated by the one true living God to be saved? Then verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now this great spiritual blessing includes our being predestinated to be adopted as God's children through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's understand this truth. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only Son of God that is not adopted. He is the only begotten Son of God. In other words, he's eternally begotten. In other words, there was never a time when Jesus was not the Son of God. He had always been the Son of God, eternal. In other words, Jesus is God. Understand this truth. But we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are adopted into God's family to become his children. Now, I have some understanding, I think I've told you this before, of the privilege of being an adopted son. Now, when I was a little kid, there was this bachelor who was our family friend who adopted me. And I became his adopted son, and I referred to him as my foster father. Now, till the day he died, I was the only one that was his family. Or the only one. Yes, my biological father had a very large family. He had 12 children, so he had no time for his children. And then he had to work very, very hard to try to earn a living to support the family members. So he had no time for us. I never remember a time when my father sat down and said, son, sit down, I talk to you. There never was such an occasion. Okay? And my father, very hard to say that my father loved me, but what my father could not do, this man did. He showed me kindness, he showed me comfort, and he showed me love, something which my father could never show me. And then out of his meager earnings, he supplemented my pocket money. Yes, my father gave me some money, but this man supplemented my pocket money. This foster father of mine was my father. I would regard him as my father. I felt very, very privileged, and today I still feel very, very privileged that I was adopted by him to become his adopted son. What a great privilege, my dear friends, to be adopted by the one true living God. He adopted us to give us everlasting life. He adopted us, and he tells us this, now you have become an heir and joint heirs with my only begotten son. You have become an heir and joint heir with the prince. Think of it, my dear friends. We have been adopted into God's family, and we have become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. How kind and how gracious that he should adopt us. Remember this, we were his enemies. Yes, we were his enemies because we rebelled against him. And then spiritually speaking, let's understand that we were lepers. Yes, spiritual lepers because of our sins. Now, which man in his own right mind would go to a leprosarium and say, all right, I want to adopt this leper to be my son? Now, which man would do it? Yes, chances are people would not do a thing like that. They will want to adopt someone that is healthy, someone who would not become a liability to him. Yes, people will do that. But God is so kind and so gracious. While we were yet his enemies, he saved us. While we were spiritual lepers, because we were leprous with sin, the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. Yes, that's how kind and how gracious this God is. Yes, he chose us to be in Christ. So how? Yes, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Yes, we were chosen, my dear friends, to be to become children of God, and he has adopted us. How could he adopt us? He could adopt us because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for us. He paid for our sins, so that now God is in the position to forgive us of our sins and to adopt us into his family. And that once we have been adopted, once we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we would have become sons and daughters of the one true living God. Yes, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now then, when did he choose us? The question is, when did he choose us? Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us even before the foundation of the world. In other words, even from eternity past, the one true living God had already chosen us. God always knew his purpose, because if there was a time he didn't know his purpose, then he could not be all-knowing. So he knew his purpose from eternity past. So he knew us all, knew that he was going to choose us all the time. But did he look down, let's say, the passage of time and say, so-and-so is going to be very, very good during this time. Because he's going to become very good, I'll choose him. No, my dear friends, the truth is God chose us, and he chose us to make us good. Not that we were good, then he chose us. He chose us, and he made us good. My dear friends, that's how kind and how gracious God is. It is very important that we understand this truth. Otherwise, we may think that, it's because of my goodness that I'm having a place in heaven. No, the truth is God chose us, made us good, so that we would have a place in heaven. Now the next question is, why did he choose me? Why did he choose us? Also, the answer is given in verse 5. All right, if you look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Simply that. All right. Why did God choose us? God chose us because he chose us according to the good pleasure of his will. It pleased him to choose us, so he chose us simply out of his grace. Some may argue, if he predestinates me to be saved, then I don't really have a choice. If he has predestinated me to be saved, then I'll be saved. If he doesn't predestinate me to be saved, then I will not be saved. But what's the truth? The truth is he predestinates. And the truth is also that we have to make a choice. John 3:16 says it very clearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to choose to believe in him, my dear friends, to have everlasting life. Now the question is, can we understand these two truths, that God predestinates and then we make a choice? Can you understand? I say, I don't understand. I can't understand. I will have no ability to understand. But friends, the fact that I don't understand does not make this truth untrue. You understand? Yes, it's absolutely true because it's taught in the Word of God. So it must be absolutely true. So the question really is, do you know whether you are predestinated to be saved or not? Right? You need to answer that question, whether you're predestinated to be saved or not. You know, my dear friends, because when you have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it means that you have been predestinated to be saved. That is why you came to believe. You understand? So, my dear friends, why don't you this morning realize, see the goodness of the one true living God? He wants to pour down his blessings upon us, provided that we be in Christ. Yes? So why don't you come this morning and come to believe in him, be in Christ, and then know for sure that you have been predestinated to be saved. Thank God for these two beautiful words, in Christ. So when you look at Christ, what do you see? I trust that you do not see him just as a good teacher, just as someone who is sacrificial, not just a good religious leader, not just a prophet, but you will see Christ as God manifest in the flesh, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Yes, God was in Christ so that he can stand before us today without having to strike us dead. All right? And thank God for this wonderful truth that we are also in Christ. Yes, if we believe in Jesus, we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we will have put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll have the ability to stand righteous in the sight of the one true living God one day. Yes, because when God looks at us, he will declare us as being righteous. Yes, because he sees only the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ when we stand before him. So the question is, are you in Christ or are you outside of Christ? I trust, my dear friends, that you can assuredly say, I am in Christ. And today, if you are not in Christ, why don't you make the decision and say, yes, I want to be in Jesus Christ. And then it is only when you are in Christ that these spiritual blessings that we have been talking about will be yours, the whole list of them. Number one, of course, is everlasting life. Number two, of course, is the fact that one day you are going to receive this glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, we are going to occupy the heavenly mansion that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And then the whole host of other blessings, they will all be ours because they are packaged in Christ, the unspeakable gift. And if we have Christ, this gifts packaged in him will be ours. But we must be in Christ. Now, then understand this truth, that there is nothing good in us that caused him to choose us. The truth is, he chose us to make us good. Yes, and he chose us simply out of his good pleasure. He saved, chose us simply by his grace, that's all. Yes, not that we were good in any way, or that down the corridor of time, God sees that, saw that we were going to be good, and then he saved us. No, he saved us to make us good. And save us simply out of the good pleasure of his will. So, do you want to know whether you've been chosen or not? You can know it, my dear friends. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be in him, and you know for sure that you have been chosen. You have been predestinated to be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us, O Lord God, to love you and to serve you well. Thank you, O Lord God, that you have chosen us to be in Christ. And because we are in him, we thank you that all the spiritual blessings that we have gone through this morning, we know are ours because they are packaged in him and we are in him. And we thank you, O Lord God, for your grace, for condescending to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a God manifest in the flesh. We thank you that through him we may know the one true living God. Thank you, O Lord God, for your wonderful grace, and we pray for those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, that today they will come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of him who died for us and who rose up for us. Amen.